Ladies and gentlemen, broadcast a lot to you and yours. It's Mr. X to the Z exhibit. Yeah. Bounce. Come on. The first day of the rest of my life. X stand behind the mic like Walter Cronkite. Y'all keep the spotlight. I'm keeping my bombs tight. Lose sight of what you believe and call it a night. This ain't the lightweight cake mix shit that you're used to. Teflon territory, you just can't shoot through. You gon' shoot who? Not even on your best day. Rolling the Wild West way, giving it up. Leaving the whole world stuck, not giving a fuck.
What a new comic book head. Here we go. Episode 1 from that series Nursery coming your way. Listen to the intro music. We'll be right back.
Since Exhibicus been on some pimp shit, approach every woman like a potential mistress. Shine bright, make sure that ass stays tight.
Cause tonight I might right. My next ex. And I gotta tell you, you know, fresh out of SDCC, well, you know I'm out there, you know, you don't know what that is, that San Diego Comic Con. Wow, just a couple days removed from that, and I'm settling down, putting on my new, comics, few figures. I only bought a box set of the Marvel Legends, but you want to hear more about that, you know where to go to that. But, oh my God, did your boy get some comics, like, a shitload of comics. I ain't even fucking around. You know, got a lot of fillers, got a lot of key issues I've been missing, and finally, after all these years, I completed my Atlantis Attack set. And feels great, you know, finding it from the box straight like that. Digging and searching and finally getting it, man, just that sigh of relief. And I mean, I've read the whole story before, you know, but it wasn't mine's to keep, so I wanted to do it the old-fashioned way, and I did it, and it feels good. So yeah, like I said, here we go, episode 1. You heard the intro episode last week. This is actually your first issue, episode 1, Serious Nerd Shit, brought to you by the Raw, Live, and Unedited Podcasting Network, RLU baby. And of course, it's your boy, Mr. Big Geek. Ayo, if you're nasty, and most of you nasty, I already know who you are. So let's get into this, man. Let's get into what came in last week. What we're reading, what's on my pull list. First of all, we'll talk about the drops that happened on last Wednesday, which was July 19th. Some notable drops, I guess. And then from there, I'll tell you what of those landed on my pull list. Let's start with Pestilence from Aftershock Comics, Pestilence number 3, which, because I was at Comic-Con, I forgot to call in and reserve my copy. I thought I had this on my pull list, not the case. This has so far been a great fucking book, man. Once I read it, I'll break the synopsis down of the story so far, but I can't do that this week because I didn't read it, so when it comes, we'll get that. That's from Aftershock Comics. I don't know if I mentioned that. Okay, now couple of drops from DC Comics. We had Batman number 27, which is a War of Jokes and Riddles. I thought it was going to be part 3, but it's like a break from the actual wars going down in the comics. We'll talk about that later on. Some shit goes down in that. Three variant covers came out to that. Cover A and B. B was a Tony Daniel Batman cover, which is one I wanted. But again, because the Comic-Con wasn't there to pick the cover, ended up with the Riddler one still. Got it. Another thing that came from DC, and who's making Turtles? Who's banging out the Turtles right now? God damn it. Is it IDW? It could be them. Well, Batman and the Turtles had a title run not too long ago. I think it's the second time. This one that was released last Wednesday was actually Volume 1 of Batman Ninja Turtles. I've had fun with both volumes that came out so far. It's a fun book, man. It ain't the greatest shit you're going to read, but it's to put those two worlds together, it's pretty goddamn, it's a good time, dude. So I advise you guys to look into those, read them. It's not a terrible read. Okay, so now from Image Comics, we got Invisible 138, which is goddamn. Well, I'll get into what on my pull list, what I read from my pull list, but I'm just that issue alone stands out, man. It was fucking outstanding. But Here we go. Let's keep on going. Also, last Wednesday, the drop was Kill the Minotaur number 2. If you missed our number 1, you're missing out completely. This is a badass fucking story. I'll get into that on my pull list, but that's just what dropped last week. Also, a notable book, which I'm not reading, but I heard great shit from. I just want to throw it out there. It was Descender number 22, also from Image Comics. I've heard nothing but great stuff from a lot of my comic book pals. Just haven't had the time to jump into that. I'm reading so much shit right now, it's hard to jump into a new book. Maybe slowly but surely I'll start getting into those trades and see where I can get from there. All right, now for Marvel, we got Astonishing X-Men number 1, which had like 6 or 7 variant covers. Man, even San Diego Comic-Con had like 2 variant covers there, like for show, which are pretty fucking outstanding. Me, I ended up with the regular one. I wanted the Jim Lee one, but hold on. Let's right now. Side note, I gotta get into this, and I'm gonna speak the truth. We're coming from. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but coming from me. Now, we all know Jim Lee's one of the main motherfuckers of DC Entertainment, right? He's like one of the head honchos out there now. He left all his Marvel work behind. But, I mean, still, if you see him at a show, he'll sign your books, man. Marvel, DC, what have you, whatever he did, he'll sign it. But what Marvel's doing now, I think it's kind of low-ball fucking Bush League bullshit, to be honest with you. I mean, of course he's not doing covers for you anymore, but to get the Marvel cards that he dished out in the 90s, like the X-Men cards, I think he did New Mutant or Liefeld did New Mutant. Anyway, Jim Lee did a lot of that back in the day, the cards. And it's pretty bad. It's an awesome fucking set if you have them. I think there's like 2 or 3 sets. I think I own 2 of them. Really great. Really great fucking sets. Really great Jim Lee art, but they're on like cards, dude, like baseball cards. Well, what Marvel's doing now, they blew up those images and they slapped it on a Thor book, on a Captain America book, on a Guardians of the Galaxy book, and with the X-Men characters that he used. And I think it's bullshit, man. I mean, shit, they at least reach out to the dude and fucking pay him what he's worth and have him do some real covers. You're just regurgitating the old shit, man. I mean, yeah, it looks good on a book, but I think it's fucked up they're doing that. I think it's nonsense, you know? A lot of those fucking covers look good. I have those cards, like I said. But I think it's kind of dirty to invest in something like that. I mean, I know a lot of people who didn't know about those cards back in the day. They're really loving these covers. But Jim Lee did not make this art for these covers that we're seeing now. He did it for his cards back in the day when he was actually part of Marvel. So I think it's bullshit. But hey, you know, if you like them, you're collecting them, to each their own. I'm not going to knock you for it. I just don't like how Marvel's doing it. So, yeah, went on that little rant, had to take care of that. Also, from Marvel, we got the Mighty Thor 21, which I called out on my intro show. It's a fucking great read all up into whatever every book. It just keeps getting better, and we'll talk about that on my pull list because, of course, on there. Spectacular Spider-Man number 2 dropped, and I thought I had it on my list. Didn't, missed it, so my shop will get more copies, and I think they got a low run, so hopefully I'll get more copies of that. I'm going to jump on it. I didn't mind the first one. It was great, but I'm going to stick around for it for a little bit. Just for a few issues. See where it goes. And also for Marvel, of course, they're doing Star Wars titles. We got Darth Maul number 5. So we'll get into that right now on AO's pull list. Now, I mentioned a few of those books. I didn't get my hand on, but the ones I did, we'll start from the top. Batman number 27, War of Joke and Riddles. Going on right now in those books. Basically, if you didn't read 25 where it's jumped off, you know, I'll give you a quick little rundown of the story. It's really started with the Riddler. I mean, he devises a plan in jail. You know, he gets out. It's pretty badass how he goes about all this. And he plans to hook up with the Joker and tell him, hey, me and you, whenever we fight the Batman, we come up short. You know, there's always one way, you know, we don't come out on top. But if we put our skills together, man, we can handle them. You know, pretty much what happened. And Joker's like, yeah, sure, whatever you say. Takes a gun out, but I don't like that idea. Shoots a fucking Riddler, dude. I mean, spoiler alert. Book's like 2 months old, if anything. A month, 2 months old, yeah. So, but and you sure, you actually have been reading it in the first place, so don't get mad at me. Anyways, Riddler's pissed off. He survives the attack. He gets his own goons to go after Joker. Joker goes with the mob, threatens him. Hey, if he's not dead by 3, your whole family's dead. And that leads into book Batman 26, which, fuck, man, so much shit goes down in that book. And now we're down to 27, which dropped last week. And when you read the title, it says interlude. So I'm guessing they're taking a break from a war, but we do get aspects of what's going down in that comic on this, in this issue here, you know, in that story. And you get to see a little bit of both sides, you know, where they're at mentally. A character who, there's a character involved, just a regular dude that made, who had some kind of business with Joker back in the day, and everyone knows he can get the hold of, a hold of Joker if really needs to. And which is what happens, and everybody uses him for this, man. They use it for, they can lure the Joker out. Riddler does it, Batman, I think Deadshot gets involved. The story's a little all over the place. I mean, they shouldn't have strayed from the main story, but I see what he's doing. I mean, it's ends to a mean. I'm pretty sure it's going to play out good in the whole scheme of things, but don't jump. This is not jump on friendly, this book here, 27. No, you got to go back, read 25 before you read 27. But I'm pretty sure it's going to play an important part of this story. So I still recommend the story. It's doing good. It's not falling off by any means. And that is brought to you by writer Tom King and Clay Mann. He's on the pencils. The art's fucking outstanding. This Clay Mann, I'm not familiar with, but he's killing it. And of course, Tom King, he's been knocking out Batman since he's been writing it. I recommend this run. So if you get a chance to jump on it, start with issue 25 and go from there. Also, next on my pull list, we have from Image Comics, I mentioned earlier, Kill the Minotaur. Now, if you're familiar with the story or with Greek mythology, which I fucking love, I don't know if you guys know this about me, I love Greek mythology. This is pretty much a spin on the story Theseus and the Minotaur from, you know, from that era. And it's got some pretty cool aspects of it. I mean, if you've got to pick up number one. I mean, if you're familiar with the story, I mean, regardless, pick up number one. This is only issue two. Number one dropped 3 weeks back. You can get caught up real quick. The story's been great so fucking far. There's new things introduced, like the labyrinth. We all know about the labyrinth. That's part of the Minotaur's, where he lives, where he roams, where, you know, they put a little twist on it where it's like, it's a lot of magical aspects of it. We get the god stuff. But the writing, the storytelling, the way they break it down, it's really fucking good. And this is written by Chris Pacetto and Christian Contemessa. Those are the writers, so joint writers on this book. And the artist is Lucas Kidner. And let me tell you, man, this art, it's fucking gorgeous. It's a fresh breath there when you read stories like this. New shit. It's not superpower, superhero, supervillain kind of shit. I mean, we've heard this story before. It's just a little spin on it, and I think they're doing great with it. So I absolutely recommend that you pick up Kill the Minotaur, number one. Number two dropped last week. I really love the read so far. So I'm giving that out to you guys, dude. Do not sleep on it. Okay, now from there, we're getting into the heavies, man. And I'm going to start off with, I'm pretty much giving you what's on my pull list, but what I read when I got it, dude. And what was funny about the whole thing, you know, coming from San Diego Comic-Con, I didn't get a chance to get my books right when I got home. You know, I needed to chill, relax, unwind. I got my books yesterday and read them all. I think I saved a couple for today. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But one of the first ones I read was Darth Maul, Book 1, Part 5. Goddamn, is this book fucking great. This ends the story arc. I thought this was going to be a miniseries, but when you go to the last panel, last page, we see that it's going to continue, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Let me just read you what this story's been about so far. So, we get Sith Apprentice Darth Maul. He has infiltrated an auction attended by the most dangerous crime bosses in the galaxy against the will of his master, Darth Sidious. So Darth Sidious doesn't know he's doing this, okay? That's what we get. The prize of this auction, a Jedi Padawan, her name is Eldra Caedus, who was captured by profiteering gangster Zeev Xerxes. With a group of bounty hunters, including Cabane and Orzing, Maul has kidnapped the Padawan with the intention of killing her to satisfy his needs. He wants to, we got the whole revenge, you know, we gotta kill the fucking Jedi, you know, Palpatine's fucking just feeding them this shit, and you get to see a lot of that in this run. And this is actually the first Jedi he's gonna actually fight, like go mano a mano, and it plays out good. If you've been reading this story, man, you're hooked from book one. It gets you, but this is the one where everything fucking comes together. I mean, if you read part 4, which was issue 4, you see at the end panels, she recognizes what Darth Maul is. Once he takes her from the, on this planet, when all the shit goes down, they're on this planet alone with the bounty hunters and the other people who are hunting them. He's off, now that I have you here alone, my attention the whole time was to kill you. And she goes, oh no, I know. I felt your dark presence the whole time. And he goes, well, if you felt my darkness, then you know what I am. She goes, I thought you were extinct, same shit, but I know what you are. Lightsabers light up. That was the end panels of book 4. So book 5, man, right away, we get them and they're at each other's fucking throat. And the whole time, Maul's telling her, you know, you don't know how long I've waited for this to kill me a Jedi, to put my blade through a Jedi, through a lightsaber, and they're just back and forth, and she's pretty badass. This is someone I never heard of. They introduced her in the story, so she's a new character. I don't even know who her master was. I don't remember if they called it out. Maybe if I go back and check, they probably did. But it's just a petty one. So she even tries to tell Maul, you know, even if you do kill me, I'm just a petty one. I'm not the Jedi master you want. But, you know, that kind of gets into his head. Like, she's right. I'm going to kill her quick. You know, maybe I should let low, you know, let my arm down a little bit. But no, that was his mistake because she is fucking skilled. She knows how to use force. She's good with a lightsaber. And once he realized, okay, I fucked up. I let my guard down too much. Now it's time to kill her and put her down. Is when this shit really starts happening. And I don't want to spoil it for you, but if you of course, this is a new character. We don't know if we're going to hear from her again. I'm not going to kill it for you. But those who read it know what happens, and it's fucking great. So, goddamn, the way this ends. You know what? It was last week. I'm going to spoil it. This is what I'm going to do. If the book came out last week, I'm going to tell you what happens. If you didn't pick it up, that's your fault, not mine. So, spoilers, here they come. And if you didn't read it, it's sitting in your stack, shame on you. You know what I'm saying? So you should have jumped on it. You should have read it. If not, skip ahead, because this was going to happen. So, of course, after everything goes down, Maul gets the better of her, puts his blade through her, and she's trying to tell him, you know, is this what you wanted? Do you feel you've had your revenge? And he tells her, like, no, you're just the first of many to come. And when she dies, he goes over to her blade, slashes it with his lightsaber, like completely destroys it, and walks away like the badass Sith that he is. But he's not done there. The bounty hunters come around. This is Cad Bane. We're all familiar with him from the, I don't know if he was in Rebels, but he was in Clone Wars. And Aurra Sing, who's also a bounty hunter, we're familiar with from the OG comics, the Legend comics, what they're calling now. She's been brought into the main universe, so she is part of everything real that's going on with Star Wars now. They come, they pick up Maul, and before they take him to his planet, they take him to the hostess of that auctioneer who had the Jedi, and pretty much stabbed everybody in the back, and he goes, you know, to kill her, because, you know, she fucked him over. And it's funny, right when he gets there, and she knows he's there, she's like, you know what, I knew you would be back. I knew the Patty one wouldn't be enough for you, because you wanted to kill a real Jedi. And he looks at her like, okay, so you know where I am. And same shit, yeah, I know you who you are, and I know what you're here for. You're here for revenge, you know. And he's thinking the whole time, say it. Give me a reason to kill you. Don't give me what I want. Tell me what I am, what I want to hear, for I can kill you. And she said, same thing. You know what? I always thought you guys died off a long time ago. And then she says it, whispers it to herself, Sith. Blade comes down on her. She is gone. So, with that all being done, Maul heads back to where's everything going down? Well, I don't know what planet they're on. Could be Coruscant. I think it is. That's where they're at every now and then. They fly off to do the other shit. And when he gets there and he's talking to Palpatine, Darth Sidious, about what went down, how was his mission, he's all, yeah, well, you know, everything worked out fine. He goes, so you're able to kill the Patty one. And in shock, Darth Maul's like, because this whole time, if Sidious finds out, he's going to kill me because I'm disobeying my master. But it was all set up by Sidious, like a trial, a test. And, you know, and the whole time, you know, he's telling Darth Maul, yeah, I knew what's going to happen. I sent you on this path. This is what I wanted. So he's like, okay, you tested my loyalty and I failed. And he's like, no, you haven't. You know, of course, you defied me, but that's in the Sith nature. We're to embrace shit like that. This our, you know, it's our very nature of our order to defy, you know, our master's teaching, you know. So he gets that part through him. He gets it through Maul, and then he goes, killing the Jedi. Did that help? Are you satisfied? Maul just looks at him and grins. and tells them, no, that does not satisfy me. Palpatine slowly turns around, smiles, and says, good. End of a comic. Well, there's a little afterward stuff, and then you will see what's coming the next issue. So, like I said, I thought it was a little five-part series, but it's going to continue. I'm glad they are, because it is a fucking outstanding book. It is a great read. I absolutely recommend it. Don't sleep on it. So, sorry about that. Next, we're going to get into an Image book called Invincible. Now, I told you guys in the intro that I got onto this book late. I think I want to say issue 117. I mean, if you get into it now, it's totally not jump on friendly. You're going to be fucking lost. But I do recommend you go. It is at issue, let me see, issue 138 now. I think I called it out earlier. I started issue 117. Now, that right there was a great jumping point. And I think Ramon from Peace Basement, the one that called it out. And from there, I've been hearing about this book for years. So, but that's when I actually got on it. And if you get issue 117 at the time, which was a quarter, because they wanted to introduce more people to it. So I went about a year and a half ago, 2 years almost. The first 4-6 panels, it's catching you up to the whole world, that whole universe that is Invincible. And this is written by Robert Kirkman. Ryan Otley is a penciler. I love this fucking art. A lot of people think it's too cartoony, but it's great. Matter of fact, let me just pause real quick, because I know I didn't read or tell you guys who was the writer of that Darth Maul book. Let me go back to that. So if Colin Bunn's writing Darth Maul. He is one of my favorite writers out there right now. And Luke Ross on the art. Jesus, it's gorgeous, man. I mean, just wait till you see that book. And the writing's outstanding. The art's beautiful. Back to Invincible. So the Invincible book, I don't really want to review it because you're going to be lost, especially a lot of people who aren't reading the book. If there's a lot of people listening to this show who are reading the book and you want to hear my opinion on it, then I'll probably jump into it. We'll start from there. But this issue is actually part 6 of 12, 12 being the last issue of this run. I think I called it in my intro show. This will be the end of Invincible. It would end, let's see, so if I count 6 back, at issue 144, I think, which is a weird number, but that's where the comic's going to end. So this is part 6 of 12 of that current run, which is the end of all things. And man, does this shit go down. You know what? I'll review the comic. So if you don't know nothing about Invincible, you want to skip ahead, if you want to learn a little bit about what's going down, then stick around. I'll just jump into it. So there's been a war raging with this bad motherfucker. It's pretty much an alien race called the Vultramite, who they're fighting off. They try to conquer the Earth a long time ago. I don't really know too much of the backstory. Like I said, I got into it late, but their general is a dude called General Thrag, who is just a vicious motherfucker. I mean, this guy is a straight savage. And halfway through this war, they're meeting up with the other Vultramites who stayed on Earth and are actually good guys. They're living life, but they get a call to arms by one of their main leaders, the good guys, and by Invincible himself. We're going to go to war with Thrag. He's coming to Earth. We need to stop him before he gets there. And man, I mean, from beginning to end, it's just fighting. There's like a little break in between the show's pages of what's going on with the rest of the family. But that's like 1.5 pages, man. And then you just get back into the war. There's a beautiful splash page, maybe 2 or 3 of them, in this whole book. And you just see just all these aliens, all these people, all these heroes and villains just killing each other. I mean, when I say killing, people's heads are getting ripped off, bodies getting torn in half, you're losing eyes, your jaws hanging from the rest of your face. And Thrag and Invincible's dad, who are probably the two most powerful right now, they're going at it. And there's just blood all over this book. It's gorgeous, man. It's a great read. And the way it ends, it's just god damn. I mean, you expected someone big to fall. I mean, like I said, it's towards the end of this run. This book is coming towards the end. You expected someone big to fall, and it happens in this book. I mean, he doesn't go down without a fight. I gave it away with the heat. And like I said, if you're not familiar with the book, you don't know what I'm talking about anyways. But people who have it, I'm pretty sure you read it right away, because it's an outstanding read. But one of the big guys falls in this book, and when I say fall, I mean literally gets ripped in half in front of everybody, and it's just crazy to see someone so powerful go down like that. And this just got me excited for the next one. I can't wait to read the next book, man. It's one of my favorite comics right now. Invisible 138 was a motherfucking great... excuse my language. I know someone called me all me cussing. It's just the way I talk. I'm sorry. But it is a great read. I think they're going out with a bang, and it proves it and what happened in this issue. And hopefully it continues. All right, so now we'll move on to another Marvel book, which has been another one of my favorites in the Marvel U right now. I'm only reading about three or four of their books, but it's on my pull list. One of the ones that I can't wait to read when it drops, and it's just one of my favorites. And that's the Mighty Thor, Jane Foster. Now, if you don't know what's going on with Thor right now, I'll just read what the synopsis, especially with Jane Foster coming in to it. So just to get you caught up. Okay, so when Dr. Jane Foster lifts the Mystic Hammer, how do you pronounce this motherfucker again? Mjolnir, something like that. She is transformed into the goddess of thunder, the Mighty Thor. Her enemies are many as Asgard descends further into chaos and war threatens to spread throughout the Ten Realms. Yet her greatest battle will be against a far more personal foe, the cancer that is killing her mortal form. Now, recent events. Malekith and his allies are waging war across the Ten Realms. Agents from Mithilheim are invaded the land of the dwarves, where light elves have taken refuge after Malekith destroyed their home. Mjolnir called Jane to action, but she collapsed before reaching the hammer. Her cancer grows worse with every transformation. If anyone doesn't know, Jane Foster is dying from cancer. And breast cancer, I think it is. But every time she transforms to Thor, she doesn't have it. She's like the perfect being. But every time she transforms too, it takes more out of it, and it's killing her faster and faster. Okay, let's get back into it. So the Mephilheim riders bombed the refugees' camps and set fire to the realm. Among the victims was a group of children that Volstagg had placed under his protection. The horrified Volstagg emerged from the flames a new man, and the hammer of the ultimate Thor left on old Asgard after his bearer's death heard his call for vengeance. A new kind of Thor has risen, prepared to bleed. Now, if you read last issue, which was issue 20, you got introduced into War Thor. Now, who is War Thor? War Thor, if you didn't hear it right there in that synopsis, is Volstagg. I mean, you guys remember the big red-headed, you know, god, Volstagg. I don't know what he's the god of. I can't remember right now. But he's a big dude. He's always by Thor's side. You remember him from the movies, in the movie. And basically what happened in the last issue, he was protecting a group of elf kids. They're trying to run away from all the shit that was going down around him. But this fire came down that, of course, he survived. You know, he's a god. But the kids, they melted, died in his arms. The only thing that was left was, like, their smoldering blood. And it drove our dude mad nuts. So, right when he's screaming, like, in agony, Ultimate Thor's hammer was laying, like, on a rock flowing through space, heard his cry, and made a beeline straight to him. Landed in his hand, out from ashes, War Thor. Now, this dude is a beast now, and it shows right away in this episode, man. And, Jesus, it was one of... I don't know if it's... This Invincible and Darth Maul were the best reads of this week, absolutely. I've read... All the books were pretty good, but they stand out, and I can't choose between them because they all made me feel a certain way. They're all written great. The art in them is just beautiful, but, man, this one really stood out to me, especially what happened with that last... Issue 20. So in issue 21 here, we get Volstagg. Well, right away, you see the aliens that were killing the dwarves in the issue prior, and they're just laying waste to the rest of this land, man. And just fire everywhere, they're killing. And all of a sudden, lightning comes. There's a force of air that goes through this army, and they're like, "What the hell is that?" Followed by all this lightning, and they're like, "Just lightning. It's a light rain. It's nothing. You know, it always happens here in this world." But then there's like, boom, you hear this boom, and now from the dark clouds, there's Volstagg, War Thor with his hammer, looking, man, he looks like a beast. It looks like a lot of the weight just turned into muscle, man. It's weird, but he still has that big old red beard, and he has that helmet. If you remember, who was it? Not the Thor from the 90s, Eric Masterson, with the blonde hair, the blonde beard. It pretty much looks like him, but everything's red. He had that helmet, and he has that cape. He looks like a beast, man. And he just tears through the ranks of these bad guys. Just tears. Him alone,
ripping through with his lightning, just killing everything in his sight the whole time, yelling, this is for what you did. This is for the children. This, he just keeps repeating it, man, like a madman on a mission. And that's the whole comic. He's just killing all these bad guys. And then you just see it play out through the art, man. And then once he's done with most of the army, there's like a blast. Boom, hits him in the back, and you're like, it stuns him, you know? It stops him in his track, and he turns around, and right away we see Ulrich the Troll, and, God, what's the name from, she's coming, not Hela, what's the real pretty one, Enchantress, excuse me, I'm sorry. They're standing there, she hit him like one of her magic rays or whatever, and her and Ulrich are like, hey, you're trying to stop, you know, us from invading and taking over this world. Nah, you can't do that. We'll put you down. You know, who are you? You know, you look like Thor, but we know you're not Thor, because she's the lady now, and you're not the Odin son. And he's standing there, and Enchantress is like, well, we're not going to waste our time with you. She shoots another ray with him, and he blocks it with the hammer. And she, right away, eyes wide open, she's like, impossible. No one could reflect my magic. You know, he throws, and Volstagg just looks at her, War Thor, Volstagg, whatever call him, Volstagg, whatever call him, throws a hammer towards her, hits her, like, right in the chest, and takes her down. And she can't get up because the hammer's holding her down. So she's there struggling. So Ulrich's like, well, I'm not going to take my chance. And you look like a heavy hitter. I'm going to take it to you. He runs to War Thor and hits him real hard. And you just see crack his knuckles like break. And Volstagg doesn't move. And he just stares at him. And then Ulrich's like, impossible. You know, I'm one of the strongest motherfuckers around. How did you not feel that? War Thor doesn't give him a chance to answer and just starts beating the shit out of him, man. He just starts taking it to him, and he doesn't let up, and he starts yelling, you know, for the children. This is for the children. Their blood is on my hands. You did this. And they're like, holy shit, you know, he's here for some blood, and he just keeps beating the shit out of him. And once he beats the heck out of Ulrich, there's a chance where he looks over to reach his hammer, take it from Enchantress, and she breathes a sigh of relief. He's like, goddamn, I can leave now. And Ulrich tries to run away. And War Thor catches up to him, knocks him down, and he's ready to cut his damn head off. He's been, like you see, yells it one more time, it's for the children, and he brings the hammer down just in time, or not quick enough, because Enchantress opens up the portal, snags him from the other side, takes Ulrich, saves his life, and disappears on her own. And of course, War Thor, he's like pissed, you know, he didn't get to kill two of the people who are responsible for what's going on, so he just rages on against the army, goes on a killing spree, starts destroying the rest of it, and he does. He pretty much destroys the whole army that's there by himself. Then we get a SHIELD agent. I forgot who she was. She's not Maria Hill. Whoever's in charge of Hill right now, Solomon, Agent Solomon, she's there on Asgardia or near where they're having the war. So she goes to him. She's like, wait a minute. You're not Thor. Where did you get that hammer? And he's like, no, I'm not Thor. It's me, Senator Volstagg. She knows him as part of one of the senators of Asgard. And she's like, well, wait a minute. Where did you get that? That's a Thor's hammer. Where did you get it? And basically says, I have no time to talk. I must finish what needs to be done. And he flies off. After that, we get a little bit of Jane Foster and Thor back and forth. You know, him trying to tell Odin's son, Thor, trying to tell her, you need to leave the hammer alone. It's killing you. Please, just let me be here. Let me help heal you. Just don't forget about being Thor. And she can't. She's like, no, I was given this for a reason. I'm worthy enough to carry the hammer. I'm going to carry the hammer. Gets the hammer, turns into Thor, takes off to join the fight with Volstagg. And that's where it ends. God damn, was that a great book. I mean, if you get the emotional, if you still carry the emotional from issue 20 into this one, it's just going to feed into what you're, I mean, you knew the shit was coming down once we got that War Thor at the end of that page. But man, does he lay waste to this army. What a vengeance, man. He is not fucking around. I don't know what to tell you. If you're not reading this book, you are sleeping on it. I have this entire run. It's like I said, it's been great. Every book in and out just not letting me down. I don't think I got to the writer and artist. Who's writing? Oh, yeah, that's right, of course. Jason Aaron, who wrote the first volume a couple years back. This is volume 2. Jason Aaron is one of my favorite artists right now out there, and he is killing it. The art in this book is a dude named Valerio Schnitty, but it's usually Russell Dodderman, who's who I think did most of the first volume, Jane Foster Thor, and he's doing this, and his work is outstanding. He's done every cover so far, unless the variant, you got a few variants in between, but they're both of their work, man. It's just outstanding. But the read alone to get you, but it's just to see the visuals, it's great. And I can't wait to get that issue 22 when it comes out in, I want to say about 2 weeks. It's one of my favorite reads. Like I said, it was hard to choose between that, Darth Maul, and Invincible as a book of the week, because all three are strong titles. And I recommend you jump on that, Thor. Dude, don't sleep on it. You can catch on by getting the trades and then just jump into it now, because it looks like it's going to keep getting better and better. And it's one of my absolute top recommendations. Now, we'll end it with another Marvel book. I don't know what it is, man. Every now and then, I don't know if it's because of sales. I don't know what the fuck, because there's so many of them. But when there's always a new X-Men book, fucking if they drop 3 months on a new book, 3 months later drop a new book, so on and forth, so forth, and it's happening again. This time we're getting another title called Astonishing X-Men. Number one dropped on that Wednesday. It's on my pull list. And like I'm saying, I don't know what it is about the X-Men, but they always fucking got me, man. They always get my money, and I always want strong effort sometimes, and that's not the case. You get 3-4 issues from me, if I'm not feeling you, I'm dropping you. And that's been happening a lot in the recent years. But this one, they came strong with this one. With number one, who's writing it? Charles Soule is writing it. Another one of my favorite writers right now. And the artist is Jimmy Chung, who's he's pretty badass. His work, it's really good. And like I called out, with the drops last week, there's 6 or 7 variant covers. I got the, was there an Art Adams one that I was looking for? I couldn't find that one. I tried to get it at the con. It was sold out. The cover to this one was, it's the Jimmy Chung ones. So I got the regular one. But if you were looking for some of the variants, let's see, Cassidy did one. It was great. John Tyler Christopher did an action figure variant, which was awesome. Dale Keon from Incredible Hulk back in the day did one. It looks awesome. Terry and Rachel Dawson did one. It looks great. And then there's that Jim Lee one, which is like a wraparound. It's one of my favorite. You'll always remember this Jim Lee X-Men 90s poster. It's basically that. But they did it on this cover for Astonishing, and it looks fucking good. But like I said, I'm not supporting that shit, man. I called out earlier, it's bullshit, so I'm not supporting it. So basically what we got going on in Astonishing X-Men 1, all kinds of psychics, mutants from around the world are getting attacked. It's a bunch of new characters I never heard of. I don't know if they brought them out in recent issues. Like I said, I wasn't really up on X-Men. But they're dying off one by one. Someone's getting to them. And before they can let out their psychic cry, they're done. They get extinguished. And then we get our Psylocke, in London, and sure enough, someone comes after her. I mean, we get introduced to all the X-Men is going to be in the book. There's a little thing with Bishop. There's something with Angel, which is now going by Angel. He has his wings now, but if he wants on command, his wings are turned into the blades that were given to him by Apocalypse. So that's still part of it. I know there's some kind of archangel in him still, but I don't really know how that's working right now. Anybody out there reading that book, catching up on that, just throw it in my DM, tell me what's going on. But this book so far, like I said, it was a strong effort. We get Gambit, who's also going to be on this team, Phantom X doing their own shit. We get Rogue and Old Man Logan. Old Man Logan right now, they're just throwing him in too much shit, but he actually works in this book for me, I got to say. But does that round out the team? Yeah, that pretty much rounds out the team. So we get, when Psylocke gets attacked, she sends out, she's strong enough right now. She's a strong psychic. So she sends out a cry, and it hits most of those characters I just called out. So right away, they're off to her aid, man. That's one of her girls, man. So they're right away, they all fly to see what's going on with her. And right away, she's getting attacked. They see like something's going on. Someone's attacking her cycle through her mind, they're fucking with her powers, and all kinds of shit's going down. Well, when they pull her out of it, and it's great the way they do it, man. Rogue gathers everyone and says, you know what, I can get her powers, I could siphon them through me, but I'm going to need to release them. I can't hold on to that too much longer, it'll destroy me. And who's right there? Who can siphon energy and shoot it back at you and release it? Bishop. So I like how we brought him in to do Stern stuff like this, because it really makes fucking sense. And when it comes to, you know, comic book, this kind of shit really, it really excites me. And that's what they do, man. She siphons most of Psylocke's power. This is Rogue now, by touching her, and she starts glowing. All her power, it's going in a Rogue, and then Bishop right there, and Bishop tells her, well, I need some kind of conduit. I can't just grab you like you're grabbing her and suck it in. I need some kind of way to suck it in. And she's like, okay, I'll give you the best way, just don't get an idea. And she kisses him. And sure enough, it fucking works. He's sucking it all out of her. I know that sounds bad. Sucking all this power that they're getting from Psylocke. He's getting it from Rogue now, so it won't harm her. Finds a way to get rid of the energy. Shoots it off into the air. The panels alone of that, I don't know if I'm describing it cool enough. It's pretty fucking badass, man. So once that happens and that settles down, they get together. And she tells them, I know who attacked me. And I know who's killing off the rest of the Psychics. It's someone we haven't seen in a long time. So, and it's someone we're going to have to deal with right away. It's the Shadow King. Now, I've been reading, like I said, I've been reading X-Men books in a while, and I haven't, damn sure I haven't seen Shadow King in a long fucking time. And she tells him, you know, I can't go in there. He knows too much of my weaknesses, and that's what he plays through. That's what he does. I mean, anything you hate, anything you love, anything you fear, these are all his weapons. But then again, your will is your armor. Your will is your blade. So anything you hate, anything you love, anything you fear, those are also your weapons. Use them to your advantage, because he's damn sure going to use them on you. And so the squad she picks, so they pretty much volunteer. It's Rogue, Gambit, Old Man Logan, Beast joins them, and Phantom X. They're like, you know what? We'll go in there. We'll handle it. We'll handle it. Especially Old Man Logan. He's been in the what's it called, that realm? God damn it. Whatever the realm's called, fucking slipping, I know, guys. They choose to go, and three people stay behind. Betsy herself, that's Psylocke, Angel there to protect her, and also Bishop. Bishop, like, so it's two good warriors. Even Bishop calls it, you know, Angel, I know you have it in you to still fight, but you can't protect it by yourself, so I'll stay behind. And sure enough, they stay behind while the others go on this mission. And she tells them before, you know, before I link you guys in and I send you to the realm, I'm going to let you guys know what a warning. He will know the moment you arrive, Shadow King will feel your presence right away. He will feel your presence in his realm. And right when she tells him that, we go to the next page and we see Shadow King. And he's like, if you remember how we looked back in the day, he's like that big Arab dude, you know, he has a hat, he has the glasses, he has that white, he looks like Kingpin almost. So half from his waist up, he's human or mutant form, whatever. And, but from the waist down, he's like, he has a Black Widow body. And he's like sitting on these webs, man. It looks great. I mean, that art, that page alone looks fucking outstanding. And you see the word bubbles, and he opens his eyes. He goes, oh my. And then it shows a closer panel, and he smiles, and he says, oh my, they're here. So he starts walking in his webs, and his Black Widow body looks creepy as shit. He's all, with all their secrets, they really chose to come find me here. All those secrets they have, they're my greatest weapons. But not really. And he goes to, like, this chamber that's wrapped in webs, man. It's really thick. He's going through it, he's ripping through it. He opens the door, and sit in front of, in that chamber, locked in chains, on a wheelchair, is Professor X. Now, from what I understand, Professor X died. I don't remember how he died. I'm pretty sure I read it. I just remember. It happened a few years back. I know he's been dead in the comics for a while now, a couple of years. And to see him come, is it Professor X? We don't know. It could be him fucking with their minds, fucking with our, you know, it could be the writer, you know, pulling a little fast one on us. But to me, it looks like Professor X. I mean, you know the old saying, when you die in comics, you don't really die at all. So, I have a feeling it is Professor X. And goddamn, I, you know, if this wasn't the best read I read this week, I had some really strong fucking, reads coming out of other, books, but it was a good fucking start. So they got me, man. I'm gonna stick around for issue two. And see where it goes from there. But so far, I mean, Shadow King, he's not one of my favorite villains, but some of the stories I remember reading about him, they were pretty good. So let's see. And like I said, Charles Soule writing this, he could write a fucking book. He turned out some good shit. So I'm gonna stick around for this, see where it goes. And hopefully it's been what I'm looking for. It is what I've been looking for in my X-Men comics, because they have been lacking. And with that, let me know if there's anything I'm missing. Oh, you know what? I'll get to that later. First, I want to let you know, since you're going to be hearing this on a Tuesday when it drops, I'm going to let you know what tomorrow's drop's going to be, which is Wednesday, July 26th. There's a pretty big list. A lot of it's not on my pull list. They're just notable drops. And that's what I'm going to give you right now, tomorrow's drops. And we're going to start off with Dark Horse. Now, two books that are on my pull list that I'm reading from them is Black Hammer by Jeff Lemire, which is a great, great book. Pretty much, it's like the Avengers. Say they fought one of their worst enemies, and after that fight, they disappeared forever. And nobody on Earth knows what happened to them. But them themselves, they're locked in this farm on this world where they can't leave this little town. It's a great fucking read, man. A lot of the heroes in this book, they're you're gonna see some they look similar to a lot of the GLA characters, some of the Avenger characters, so you're gonna get some of that on there. So book 11 drops tomorrow. That's one of my one of the reads I'm sticking with. I've been on that since book one, staying on it. It's been great so far. Recommend it. Also from Dark Horse, we get Conan the Slayer, written by Colin Bunn. Now, Colin Bunn just threw out that X-Men book I've been reading. Or no, what did he throw out? The Darth Maul book. But he'd been writing a lot of Star Wars stuff too. But the Conan book, holy shit, man, that shit has been great. I mean, I don't know what it is recently. I don't know if it's something that I just got into Conan all over again. I think I've only had a handful of his book, like some old shit. I always loved the movie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Barbarian, The Destroyer. I could rewatch them. As a matter of fact, I saw it not too long ago, and it still holds up. But the book, man, the stories in his book, what Colin Bunn is doing, it's fucking great. It's out of left field. I mean, I know you're hearing Conan. Yeah, dude, it's called Conan the Slayer. This is one of my favorite books I'm reading. That's on my pull list, and I absolutely recommend that. So, dropping tomorrow. You know, heads up. All right, let's get into some DC books that are dropping. One notable drop is All-Star Batman number 12. And I'm going to be honest with you. The All-Star Batman, I got the first issue, and it lost me at John Romita Jr. I'm sorry. That man's art, it just got worse over the years. I don't know who called it out. On a Go Figure podcast, it was Michael Wiseman called it out. Something about, you know, yeah, a lot of people, you know, he's old school. He's one of the guys. Me, dude, I just never felt this dude's art. It's just something every time I see it, I'm like, ugh. And you know, that throat, if you're not into the story, you're trying to get into it, visually, it shit could take you out of a book, man. So, and that's what this fucking guy does. So I stayed away. And I'm hearing, you know, okay, not great things. I mean, my Batman, the guys who are biased to Batman, who love him, they're saying, you know, yeah, it's a great run. But a lot of people who I trust more, I'm saying, you know what, it's okay. It could have been better. Sometimes it's good, but it's okay. I dropped it after one. I couldn't continue with it. I'm sorry. That's just, if you got something, you're telling me it's better, let me know. You know, tell me, hit me up on our Instagram page and let me know, man, if I'm missing out. But from what I remember, I did not like that book. That art just chased me away. All right, so also from DC Comics, we got Batman Beyond number 10 dropping. Batman Beyond, I'm not reading right now. You know, I was a fan of the cartoon. Who wasn't? You know, maybe Rich. You know, he didn't like the original Batman anime series. You know, fucking dude. But Batman Beyond was one of my favorites too. I never got into the book. Just going through it, just looked like something I wouldn't be getting. I wasn't really interested in, so I left it alone. And you know what? I'm not hearing anything great about it, man. I don't have friends. You know, dude, you're sleeping on this book. Bro, read it. Like I said, probably the Batman fans are really sticking to it. They're liking it. But I'm not hearing great things about it. Drop it tomorrow. Just give me a heads up. Now, there's Batman in the Shadow. You guys remember the Shadow from back in the day? That hero. What is he? Vigilante kind of. Him and Batman got a book going on right now. It's so issue 4 of 6 is dropping tomorrow. Another one I'm not reading. But I'm hearing okay things about it, so we'll just leave it at that. We got Detective Comics number 961. And that's actually a book that's on my pull list, but I'm about 5 issues behind on that. after what happened with a, there's like a war story not too long ago, which is pretty goddamn good. After that, I started to lose interest, but, you know, I still want to keep on. I know I can knock those book off like an hour. I'll knock those five out real quick if I want to get caught up, but it's just something. There's just better books out there to read right now. Even though I'm paying money for them. I know it sounds stupid. I haven't read the last five issues, so I'm a little behind on that. If I get caught up and I think it's great, I'll let you guys know. Also dropping tomorrow from DC, we have Flash number 27. Now, I'm not reading any of the Flash books, man. I was just not interested. I don't know what it is. I'm hearing good things about it. I did read that little Flashpoint kind of throwback, which was in the early 20s with that and Batman. I was reading it from the Batman book, but of course it jumped into the Flash book, so I had to pick up those books. I hate when they do that shit. But if you're involved in the story, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be fucking great. It was meh. So, you know, the covers were awesome. The art was awesome, but it wasn't the story I was expecting. But it didn't make me want to pick up Flash after that anyway. So, there it is. Also, from DC, we got Wonder Woman number 27. Now, this is a book that not only I was reading, but my wife was knocking out when it was dropping. You know, she was on it. I think we got one that's from this run, one all the way through like 15, 16. And it started getting a little funny. And I left it a few issues before that, but my wife was still reading it. But and then she came in. It was on her pull list, but it got dropped. You know, she came to me like, nah, it's just not doing it for me anymore. You know, I got better shit to read. Let's just drop it. Wonder Woman 27, if it's for you, is dropping tomorrow. We ain't fucking with it, so there that is. And for you Star Wars fan, this is not Marvel. This is actually a book, a hardcover or paperback that's dropping. I'm showing it because it shows up in my shop. It maybe at your bookstores, Barnes & Nobles. Just giving you a heads up. I've seen it at the con, actually, like variant editions of it. And it's from Del Rey Books, Star Wars Infernal Squad. I think this has something to do with the game. I'm not sure, but that paperback drops tomorrow. So if you've been looking for it, you've been waiting for it. It'll be available at your local stores, so look out for that. Now let's jump into some Image books. We'll start with Redneck number 4. Now this is a book I've been on since first issue, man. It's basically about redneck vampires and some hillbilly shit, I guess. Yeah, but it's been a great fucking read, man. I haven't read nothing like this before. Something similar to it, which I like more. I'll bring that up some other show. But it's been a pretty good read, man. This is something I'd recommend. So if you're not reading a lot of Image books, if you're into vampires, it's a pretty good pretty good book, man. So I recommend it. Dropping number 4, dropping tomorrow. Can't wait to read it. So I'm up on that. Saga number 45. Now, this is a book that I've heard about for years now. Same thing like with Invincible. People have been telling me about it. You know, hey, you have to read this. It's fucking totally original. You'll love it. Just give it a shot. To me, I felt like I'm way behind, dude. You know, I got to read some of the trades first to get into it. I did that recently with Birthright, which I'm actually liking. My wife's a real big fan of that. But this just looks like it's too far ahead, man. But eventually, I think I'm going to get into it because I feel like I'm missing out. But if you are reading that book, issue 45 drops tomorrow. Now, I tripped out when I saw this. I mean, I see it in the shop every now and then, but I didn't realize it was still this high and it's still ongoing. Savage Dragon number 225. If you believe it, man. Now, this book has been dropping since I was a kid, man. I own 1 through 10, I think. I stopped reading it after that, but it had me back in the day, you know, when Image came out with Spawn and Youngblood and fucking Jim Lee brought some book. Every one of those creators and writers that left Marvel and DC had their own book, their own ideas, and boom, they pushed it on us, and we loved it as kids. Now, of course, I didn't stay throughout that whole 2025 run. So, you know, fans of Savage Dragon, I'm pretty sure you've been there for the whole ride. Let me know if you're still reading it, man, if it's still good, if I missed out on some shit. I remember I loved the first 10 issues I read. I just fell off of it. I don't know what happened, but I think Age of Apocalypse hit back then, but we'll hear about that on a later show. Also from Image, and this was a recommendation by Pete's Basement, and I jumped on it after hearing from them. It sounded like a fun book. It's called Shirtless Bear Fighter. Number 2 drops tomorrow. After reading number 1, which was fucking hilarious. Oh my god, was, I mean, if you're not into these kind of books, I mean, you're always reading all the hero villain stuff, all the horror books or whatever you're reading, right? This is something that's just, it's different, man. And if you jump into it, I absolutely recommend it, man. If you jump into it, you'll like it. You'll get a laugh out of it. You've never seen something like this. It's basically a buffed out naked dude walks throughout the woods and kills bears. He like destroys them. There's a reason behind it, a little story behind it. it's a fun book, man. Me and my wife, we loved it. And this is one I recommend if you want to just try it out. Find yourself a number one. It's getting hard to find. I mean, it was a low print run and people are talking about it. And so number two drops tomorrow. So if you drop, you got number one, you're on it. Pick up number two. I'm pretty sure it's more funny shit to come. Another one from Image, which is another book I'm not reading, sad to say, but I was a big fan of back in the day, is Spawn. We get issue 276 tomorrow. Yeah, fuck, 276. Dude, almost a 300. Now, me, because I'm a sucker for shit like that, I'm going to get 300 just to own it. I have 1 through 55, I think. Then I got the scattered out there. I got 99 through 102. I got that 100. I got the 150. I got the 200. And from there scattered through what it is now. Haven't read any of the new ones, but goddamn, I didn't know it was going on this far if it's that high, but I will be picking up 300, just part of my collection, part of that. You know, I always loved Spawn. Now that the movie's been announced, if you want to hear more about that, tune in to RLU Weekly or other shows on the RLU Network, and I'm pretty sure some of the guys will be talking about it. But yeah, that's dropping tomorrow, too, so look out for that. Now, for Marvel, we got a few books. Most of these aren't on my pull list, but, hey, they're notable drops, so here you go. We got Black Panther 16. Now, I was on board for the first 5 Black Panther books, and then I lost interest after that. So if you're still reading this book and you think it's good, man, let me know. Call me out. Tell me, hey, I'm missing out, and I'll report back to you. I'll let people know if there's something they should be reading. So that drops tomorrow. Now we got Cable number 3, which is something I just stayed away from, man. If I don't know what it is with Cable. He was one of my favorite characters growing up, part of one of my greatest favorite stories of all time, one of my top 5 reads, which will drop in one of the episodes sooner or later. Saving that. I've read that story over and over, which is the Executioner song. We'll talk about that in another episode, though. But like I said, Cable being one of my favorite characters, I just couldn't, nothing about this book grabbed me, so I didn't jump onto it. But if you're interested, issue 3 drops tomorrow. Now we got another thing going on that I'm just not messing with, man. I know a lot of people are stoked about it. The covers, I know on some of these have been they look pretty badass, not gonna lie, but it's just something that's not drawing my interest, and that is Edge of the Venomverse. Issue 3 drops tomorrow, so if you're into that, if you're looking forward to it, heads up, there you go, issue 3 tomorrow. Now, if you missed out on this book, which is Defenders number 1, they're going to have the second print drop tomorrow, which should probably be low at your comic shop, depending. I mean, if it's doing a second print, that means the book did good. It's sold out, so they're bringing more to you. So if you missed the first time around, you heard stuff, good stuff about it, here's your chance to pick it up. Me, I didn't fuck with it. No one really told me I'm missing out, so if you're reading that book, got good things to say, let me know. All right, now also dropping tomorrow, we got Gwenpool number 18. Now, this is a character I just do not give one damn about. Nothing about this character interests me. I mean, she's part of Deadpool. I don't even know her goddamn story, dude. I'm not interested. But if you are, issue 18 drops tomorrow. If you think there's something cool in that book that I should be reading about, let me know. Maybe I'll check it out, but I'll be honest with you. I'm probably not going to read anything in that book. It just doesn't draw my interest. Sorry. Also from Marvel, we got Infamous Iron Man number 10, which is the Riri Williams book, which was, you know what? I can't tell if it was good or not because I picked up issues 1 and 2 and just left it alone from there. I wanted to get the first issue, of course, because it's Riri Williams, Ironheart. You know, I think it might be something special later on, especially when it comes to our MCU. There's a lot of speculation going on about that, but as for now, the book's not really grabbing me. I left it alone, but if you're interested, issue 10, drop tomorrow. Now, this goes along the lines of the Gwenpool nonsense, but I guess a lot of people have more feelings towards this character, and that's Spider-Gwen. Issue 22 drops tomorrow,
And I couldn't give a damn less, man. I mean, it's another character that I did not bother. Nothing from that character grabs me, man. I mean, Gwen Stacy, yeah, of course, she's in Spider-Man lore. She's one of those, I mean, shit, one of his first loves and all that. But Spider-Gwen, I know it has something to do with that Spider-Verse shit, which I totally left alone. I did not want to touch, man. I wasn't interested, man. I'm sorry. But like I said before, if I'm missing out, let your boy know. I'll give you a shout-out if it's something good. If it's bad, I'll call you out on it. That's just the way it is. Just another one I'm not interested in. After that, we got Thanos number 9. Now, this is a book that I'm not reading, but I've heard a lot of good stuff from. Now, I know one of my favorite artists, who is Mike Diodato, he's drawing this book. I don't know who's writing it, but I've heard some good things about it. Maybe if I get a chance, I'll catch up on that book. But right now, I'm just leaving it alone. After that, we got Secret Empire number 9. Shit, number 9? What happened to fucking 7 and 8? Last one I have is 6, I think. Which is with the Hulk. Now, a lot of people are shitting on this story, the Secret Empire run. It's not bad, dude. It's not great. I'm not telling you, hey, dude, drop what you're doing. Go buy that book, read it. But I'm saying give it a chance. You know, it's Marvel's big event this year. I'm reading it. I'm a little behind. Shit, it's telling me issue 9. And last one I remember having is 6. I'm liking it so far. It's not great, but it's not bad, dude. So it's in between. It's holding my interest. So I'm gonna stick. I'll probably see it out through the end and just give a final review after that. But it's not a bad book, dude. So if you're reading that book, issue 9 drops tomorrow. Now we got Weapon X number 6. Gee, I didn't even know that was that far up. I think I had the first 3 issues and I think I lost my interest there. But I think my wife might be reading it. I'm not sure, but I'm not fucking with it. I know a couple of my buddies are. They're telling me good things about it. It's just, I got too much on my plate right now. Maybe if I get a chance, I'll go back to it. Another issue around those lines is X-Men Blue number 8, which is X title that I just stayed away from. I had no interest. I'm going to leave it at that. If you're reading that book, issue 8 drops tomorrow. There you go. Now, if you didn't get a chance to get your Darth Vader number 1, second printing's coming out. You get another chance to get it. Now, this is a book I absolutely recommend. Darth Vader, that first volume was all-time great shit, man. The writing was fucking fantastic. The art, just take all this. You get all kinds of shit about Darth Vader you never knew. It's great, dude. I absolutely recommend this. It's one of my favorite reads of last year going into this year. One of my top books. If you did not read that, pick up the trades. Don't sleep on it. And jump on to this new Volume 2, Darth Vader number 1. It starts off with a bang. I've read number 2. I think 3 is coming out soon. It's a bitchin' fucking book. Do not sleep on it. After that, we got X-Men Gold number 5. Another X-Men property I am not touching. Had no interest in it. If it's good, let me know. Till then, I ain't fucking with it. Now, from Valiant Comics, we have X-O Man of War number 5. Now, this is a book I've been hearing a lot of shit about, like good stuff. I know one of my good friends, Phil, is reading it, and he really loves it. I mean, issue 5, shit, I could knock that off real quick, and I'm pretty sure they're not too hard to find. So if I keep hearing more about it, if it doesn't end soon, I'll probably pick it up in a trade. If not, I can find those issues. I'll knock it out, let you guys know how it is. But if you're reading it, let me know. Hit your boy up. Let me know if I'm missing out. Okay, now from Zenscope, we got Van Helsing versus the Werewolf number 1. Now, the reason I put this as a notable drop, these are the kind of characters I kind of like. Zenscope, they're hit and miss. Sometimes they'll bring something out that has a good story. The art with these motherfuckers are always good, though, you know. But Van Helsing's always a character I always liked as a kid. And, of course, the Wolfman, the Werewolf. I mean, I love shit like that. So, I might pick this book up just, you know, skim through. If it looks like I'm interested in it, I might pick it up, read and review it. You'll hear about it next week. And after that, let's see. We got nothing from Action Lab, nothing from MacLeod's Black Mask. They're not dropping anything. Boom Studios don't have anything for me. Dynamite, nothing. IDW, nothing. Well, unless you're reading Teenage Mutant Turtles, issue 72 drops tomorrow. Besides that, all those companies are not bringing nothing to the table for your boy. So with that, let's get into our must-read throwback of the week. Stay tuned.
Oh. used to court a shag. When I went to school, I carry lunch in the bag. Was forever for my teacher, cause I knew I'd get a kiss. Always got mad when the class was dismissed. But when it was a session, I always had a question. I would raise my hand to make a tackle through my chest. Can't help
you know, I gotta give you a throwback song. I should do a throwback book, so
with that out of the way, I have something very special for you. Now this here, this book I'm presenting for this week, Must Read Throwback, is one of my favorites of all time. It's just one of those books that when I read it, it just stuck with me. And I'm like, holy shit, it blew me the fuck away. Now this book is from DC Comics, and it's called Gotham by Gaslight, A Tale of the Batman. And this is an Elseworlds story. Now, if you're not familiar with Elseworlds, it's like Marvel Comics What If. So it's a What If story, like, what if this happened instead of this? What if she died or he got this power and then that person? It's along those lines. It's just an Elseworlds, another part. There's so many multiverses in each universe, and DC's, like, heavy with that shit. So this is part of that universe, man. And pretty much, just to explain it real quick, it's a 52-page one-shot that was released in 1989. And you read this book today, it still holds up. You read it in 20 fucking years, it will still hold up. It's just one of those great books that you'll love, man. And I, you know, it's just been one of my favorites, man, since I read it. You know, as a kid, you know, I think they re-released, because, you know, books go out of print, you know, and they'll bring it back with, you know, with demand if it's popular, if a lot of people talk about it. And I think they re-released this in 2008. They re-released a trade, like I said, it's like in a trade form. It's a one shot. It's a thick book. Beautiful cover. If you want to tell you how beautiful, I'll tell you the artist alone. Mike Mignola, who's our Hellboy artist and writer. He not only does a cover art, he does art throughout the whole fucking book. So it has that darkness in it, man. It's fucking outstanding. The writer for this book is Brian Augustine, who I don't think I've read anything from him since or before that, but he could retire with this fucking book. It's that great. Now let me give you a little synopsis of this story. So pretty much, it's 1889, and Bruce Wayne is on a tour of Europe at this time. He's just out traveling the world, right? But at the same time, a series of murders of women, similar to the Ripper murders of England and London, take place in Gotham. And some people begin to suspect that Batman is a murderer. Because, you know, pretty much you get the Batman. He's like, I don't want to say gangsters back then, because, you know, fuck, 1889, or maybe close to the turn of the century, 1900s. There's a little, I don't want to say gangs. I don't think they're around back then. But, you know, you got those kind of people. People are still killing. People are still robbing. And the Batman was born out of that. You know, same thing happened. His parents were killed. And then we get this Batman from back in the day. But anyways, so let me get back to the synopsis. So people think he's a suspect. They begin to suspect Batman as a murderer. But it is soon discovered that Jack the Ripper, you heard me, Jack the Ripper has come to Gotham. And holy shit. I mean, if you're familiar with Jack the Ripper, who is not fictional at all, this shit really happened back in the day. He murdered a lot of women. He sent notes and letters to the police, taunting them and fuck with them, saying, hey, like a little kid, you can try, but you can't catch me. But, you know, word it out more than that, you know, just fucking with the police. Well, it plays out in this book exactly like that. He fucks with the police the same way he did in real life, man. Sends them letters, clues, like, you were close. You almost got me, but you missed me. You missed me. You were that close. And, of course, if we're talking about the police, we're talking about Commissioner Gordon. So we get our version of the 1889 Commissioner Gordon. We get Alfred. And there's even a version of the Joker in this, man. I mean, yes, we get a Joker. And the way he turns into the Joker in this story, it's crazy. I mean, you don't get a lot of them. You get a small cameo, but it's enough. It's enough. Because this is not a story about him. It's about Batman. But you know that this version of Joker at that time was also his biggest villain. But Bruce Wayne's comes back from Europe. All this shit's going down in Gotham. I think he went to investigate what was going on in London, to investigate, because he's a detective. You know, Batman's a detective just how he is now. So he sees some shit, and then he hears going on in Gotham. He flies back. The Ripper's in my town now. It ain't happening. And sure enough, we get a lot of people seeing Bruce, you know, leave at night, doesn't come back till early mornings, all hours of the night, come and go, come and go. People are not seeing him. Do you know where Bruce is now? So people suspect the Batman, he's some kind of monster. It's got to be this monster, this creature that's killing all these people. You know, their blood's getting sucked. Look at it, they're just getting ripped apart, you know. But with Batman, with Bruce Wayne dipping in and out, people are getting real suspicious of him too. And they're like, it could be this motherfucker. It's always the rich people who have all this money and nothing to do, and they go out and kill these priests. You know, it could have been him the whole time. He was in London when the Ripper murders were happening. It just makes sense. So they pretty much, they lock him up. They're trying to blame him. And you know, they don't. There's a big old trial. But then, of course, we get that letter from Jack the Ripper saying, you got the wrong man in jail. If you don't believe me, check down in this address. I took another one from you. And the whole story revolves, and Jack the Ripper, they interwind him, Bruce Wayne, the Martha and Thomas Wayne, all together. And it all revolves around this family. And just the way it's written, holy shit. When you get that reveal at the end, like jaw-dropper reveal, you're like, holy fuck. Oh my God, was it a... And it leaves you like, I want more of this. I mean, just to tell you how good this book is, IGN Comics ranked it number 13 out of 25 greatest Batman graphic novels ever. Ever. Out of the top 25, the greatest ever. 13. It's high up there on that list, man. It's almost top 10. It is easily in one of my top 10 reads of all time. Maybe even top 5. But let me just... they added a quote to that. This is IGN Comics. They said, quite simply, no other Elseworlds tale has managed such a brilliant concept nor executed it so perfectly, end quote. But, you know, taking that into consideration, what they said about that, it's not the highest ranking Elseworlds tale on their list. That goes to Batman and Dracula Red Reign, which is ranked higher at number 9, actually cracking their top 10. And that is a book I have not read, Red Reign. I've heard a lot of good shit about it. Every time I find it, it's incomplete, and I want to read it, because I think it's a few books, like one out of four Elseworld, but I think it's like that. One out of four, one out of five, something like that. It's a miniseries, but it is Elseworld, Batman, Dracula. I heard it's great, have not read it, so when I get a chance, I'll review it, and I'll let you guys know about that. But, this throwback, it is an absolute must-read. Do not sleep on it, man. You know, if you know me and I've recommended some books to you, this is one that's always high on my list. There's a few of my good friends that I handed it to. I found extra copies. Here, this is your copy. Read it. And they always come back like, that is probably one of the best Batman stories I've ever read, if not the best. It is that good. And if you get a chance, find it. Written by Brian Augustine. Penciled by Mike Mignola, A Tale of Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, Elseworlds story. Do not sleep on it, fam. Read it. Trust your boy. You'll love it.
Cause I knew I'd get a kiss. Always got mad when the class was dismissed. But when it was a session, I always had a question. I would raise my hand to make a deck of my chest. Can't help me with my problems. It was never my
chest. Alright, so back, fam. And what my throwback pick of the week. Hope you guys pick that up and read it. So now with my outro, I gotta give a few shout outs. You guys know, like I said, mentioned earlier, I was at San Diego Comic Con, and there's a few places that just had almost every book I was looking for. If not, I spent so much money there. They're great people, and I gotta give them shout outs. So for sure, Cloud Nine Comics from Portland, Oregon. You guys represented. You guys did your thing. It was great meeting you guys. I was more than happy to, you know, rummage through your dollar bins and whatever you had up there. A lot of key issues that I found in your booth. You guys are great. So I had to give you guys a shout out. Harley Lee's Rare Comics. This is where I found my Daredevil, man. My annual Daredevil number 5 to complete my Atlantis attacks. And great bunch of dudes. I forgot where they come out of. But I guess they're one of the mainstays there at San Diego Comic-Con. But, dude, once I gave them, like, all the love once I found that. Found a few other cool books there. I found one I don't think I shot out. It's another What If tale. I got the What If Jane Foster had found the Hammer of Thor there. And also got the What If Wolverine had fought Conan. Which I just read not too long ago. And it was fucking good. Oh, my God, was it good. I read it while I was out in San Diego, as a matter of fact. Once I got a little break from everything. And it was a great read, man. So I recommend that absolutely. And another spot I'm going to give shout out to is Parallel Universe Comics. Now, these are California dudes. I met the owner, Brian Gomez, at the con. And he was just a great dude, man. They had so much great books. So much great. I think I was there towards the end of that show and didn't have the chance to go back and just spend all kinds of money on them, because I had to go get something for, like, my wife, my kid. I had to get that done before I could do more me shit. So, but man, did they have so much good books. But that's not the end of these dudes. This is not, I mean, sitting there talking to the guy, I got to know him really good. Told me he's local, he's from LA, he's by Culver City, and he always has huge garage sales, like, with thousands of comics. I'm like, bro, I live in Inland Empire. I'm like a hop and a skip. When do you have your next one? I'm there. He's all, this Sunday. So there it is, man. I'm letting you know right now, if you're local, go check out Parallel Universe Comics. They're on IG under Parallel_Universe_Comics. They're going to be having a huge garage sale this Sunday, July 30th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're calling it Episode 2, Revenge of the Wallet, which is hilarious. I loved it when I seen that. And this is going to be at 4110 Minerva Avenue, Los Angeles, California. Like I said earlier, it's by Culver City. It's out that way, which I'm kind of familiar with, but I have the address here. I talked to Brian earlier to make sure this is happening. He answered back, yes, it is happening. Be there, be square, and I'm going to be there, dude. Me and my wife, I already talked. One of the first things to talk about when I got home, we're going to this huge-ass comic garage show in L.A. This Sunday. Make no plans for anybody else. We're both on vacation right now, so we're going to handle this. I just can't wait to dig into them. I mean, if you go to their IG Comics page, to their page, you could just see what happened the first time around. I'm actually posted along with this when I dropped the episode. If you side scroll, you're going to see that. I'm going to tag him to it, or I'll probably do a whole post just to that alone. The dude was fucking great, and I'm pretty sure they have a lot of stuff I'm looking for. They had a lot of stuff I wanted, and just to dig through those dollar boxes, those key issues, I know he has. I just can't wait. I'm super excited for it, and that's happening this Sunday. So if you're around the area, man, Los Angeles, California, I will tag the page later so you can see it for sure. But I'm going to say it again. It's happening July 30th at 4110 Minerva Avenue, Los Angeles, California. Do not sleep on this. Brought to you by Parallel Universe Comics. Look out for that tag on IG. I will shout them out. Dude was great, and I can't wait to get my comics from them. And with that, man, hopefully I brought you guys a good show. Hopefully I didn't talk too much. It's, when it comes to this serious nerd shit, man, this comic shit, I'm all over it. I love it. It's one of my passions. Hopefully I give you guys enough books to review. It was a light week when it comes to what I pick up. Tomorrow's going to be Wednesday's going to be a pretty big drop, so I'm going to be reviewing not all those books, but probably the best ones. Or whatever I liked on my pull list, so we'll be reviewing that next Tuesday. But I'm glad you guys came back, man. So stick around. It ain't going nowhere. You're going to keep getting it every Tuesday. Serious nerd shit. We'll see you next week. Out. Actually, I'm not out. I do got to do another shout out, but you're going to hear the outro music coming in. So never mind that. Just stick around. For real, got to give a shout out to my shop, Shop Called Quest here in Redlands, California. They're always on point with their books, man. These
some of my favorite people in the world. I love getting to know the people that work there. Nick, Gloria, you guys are great. You guys keep me up to date on what I'm missing out. These are the guys, if I don't hear somewhere else, they tell me you're missing out on this book. Pick it up, read it, you won't regret it. So I gotta give a shout out to a shop called Quest in Redlands, California. If you're ever in the area, check them out. It's one of the best comic book shops around. With that, I'm out. Hey. Baby, fill up a cup. Quick to grab Mary Jane by the butt and squeeze. Loosen up, let your hair down and join the festivities. Overcrowd the house like lockdown facilities. Bitches be quick to give me brains while I push the rain. Going up and down my dick like a stock exchange. We raise the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. Finish we all in the family. We raise the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. Since exhibit has been on some pimp shit. Approach every woman like a potential mistress. Shine bright, make sure that stay tight, cause tonight I might meet my next ex-wife. Yeah. Mr. Big Chief Reaper. Exhibit uses dick like a visa. Yeah. I run it through and money come out. Run in your mouth, I have somebody run in your house. Rower your spouse, I have a little fun in the couch. You know that it was bound to happen. I can't give you what you lacking. Whenever you hit them, other niggas rapping, rocking. Change stadiums, palladiums, crack craniums. My whole skeleton is dipped in titanium. Drop top, pinning on 20s, using rappers like crash test dummies, stacking real estate and money. It's funny how things change overnight when you're thinking right. I beat the odds like I beat on his first wife. We raise the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. To this day, we all in the family. We raise the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. To this day, we all in the family. What did he fit? We hardcore 100%, making this dick Los Angeles proudly presents the real deal. How does it feel? No special effects.